Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn back to Psalm 23, where we've been for the past few weeks, going verse by verse, phrase by phrase, through this beautiful piece of Scripture. Last week, we were in verse 4, and we talked about the phrase, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me." And what a great reminder that was for me last week, that the reason we fear no evil in times of trouble and difficulty is not because we're strong, but because He is with us. Today we come to the last part of verse 4 in Psalm 23, and it says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's an interesting phrase, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The rod and the staff represented a number of things to the shepherd and to his sheep. If we could boil it down and summarize it as simply as possible as we get into this message this morning, I would have to say that it would be something like this. The rod is a picture of his authority, and the staff is a picture of his love. The rod is a picture of his authority, and the staff is a picture of his love. And it's interesting that David says he draws comfort from these two things. And David did indeed draw great comfort from knowing that God cared enough about him to correct him, to inspect him, to protect him, to direct him. We're going to look at several things today that this pictures. The rod is a picture of authority. What is a rod? Well, shepherd would go out and he would dig up a sapling from the ground, and he would take this thing and he would begin to carve it and whittle it down to just the right size to fit him. And on the bottom of that sapling is the root ball. And he would take that thing and carve it and whittle it to exactly the right shape to fit in his hand, in the palm of his hand. So it would be this stick with a little ball on the end of it, a hard ball, and he would use that in his hand. And these shepherds in these days, still actually in some places of the world, you can see them as young boys practicing to throw these rods. And they throw them with incredible speed and incredible accuracy. In fact, Philip Keller in his book says that he has seen contests of young shepherd boys seeing who could hit a target with the greatest speed and the greatest accuracy. And these guys practice hour after hour after hour, day after day, week after week, until this rod really becomes an extension of their right hand. And it is a symbol almost of power and authority and control for the shepherd. And there are three main things that the rod represents in terms of authority. Let's look at those quickly this morning. The first one is, it represents correction. The shepherd would often use his rod to chastise or correct a sheep within the flock. If he saw that sheep wandering away off the trail, perhaps towards danger, it was not uncommon at all to see that rod go sailing through the air and whack that sheep on the rear end and cause him to know that he is off track and he needs to get his behind back in line with the rest of the sheep before he gets himself in trouble. It was a symbol of correction for the sheep. You know, correction is not something that any of us enjoy. But as a grown man now, I stand here and I can thank God not only for His correction in my life along the way, but for the correction and the discipline that my parents issued out to me as a boy. I didn't enjoy it at the time. I thought they were mean. I thought they were unfair. And it's too bad that our boys and girls aren't in here, because parents, I'd give you a plug today. You can tell them Phil said so at lunchtime. I mean, nobody enjoys correction when the correction is being dealt. And yet, how many of us as adults look back and say, "God, thank you. Thank you that I had someone in my life who cared enough for me to correct me. And Lord, thank you for your correction in my life when I get off track. Hebrews 12 puts it this way. It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may, listen, share in his holiness." Verse 11, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." Listen to this. "Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." The discipline of the Lord. Proverbs 29:15 says it this way, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Every one of us in here can think of some family who does not discipline their little child. And we see this kid running around restaurants, running around the home, tearing the place apart, having free reign. And the parents are either too ignorant to know what's going on, or they say, "Well, we just like little Johnny to express himself. Well, I'd like to express some things to Johnny now and then, because I have to eat in the same restaurants with these kids, and you do too." And I'll tell you, you know, I used to feel bad for the parents, but really now I don't feel bad for the parents at all. I feel bad for the child. They're ruining their child by not disciplining the child, ruining him. They're destroying his or her life. Discipline is an important part of physically us growing up and becoming decent, responsible, loving, caring people, but spiritually as well. Discipline is a very important part of our lives. And this rod that David talked about represented the shepherd's correction for them. Well, we need to move on. Not only did it represent correction, but it represented, secondly, inspection. There's a beautiful picture here. You and I, you know, we live in 2006. We really have to work hard to not view the Bible through our lens. We have to work so hard, as I've told you, to get into the context of Scripture, to put ourselves back into the time when this was written. It's such a beautiful picture. The rod represented inspection. As the sheep were kept within the fenced area and they were about to be let out each day or let in at the end of each day, the shepherd would do a strange thing. He would take the rod and he would lower it across this little narrow gate where the sheep could go in and out only one at a time. And he would hold his rod across the opening of that gate to stop the sheep. And then he would take his hands and his eyes and he would inspect that sheep completely. He would rub his hands all through their wool, feeling for ticks or cuts or bruises, anything that might be bothering the sheep. And he would inspect them very carefully because he cared for them. And once he had inspected that sheep, he would raise the rod up. That sheep would pass through, and he would lower the rod back down to stop the next sheep and inspect them one by one. This word picture is listed for us back in Ezekiel 20:37. It says, "I will take note of you as you pass under my rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." What a picture. You know, you read a verse like Ezekiel 20:37, and to us, we read it and we just kind of go, what is that all about? What, You can pass under the rod. What? That doesn't make any sense. The Bible's so hard to understand. Well, it's not really. Again, if we put ourselves into the frame of mind of the people who were writing it at the time, it just comes to life for us. What a beautiful picture that the Lord holds out His rod and stops us and says, I care enough about you that I'm going to take some time and I'm going to examine you. I'm going to search you. I want to make sure that you're healthy. I want to make sure there are no parasites on you. And then He lifts up that rod and we pass under, and it's sort of a sign, if you will, of being in the fold, of being in His flock. David wrote in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I wonder if you take the time to let the shepherd inspect you, or do you buck and kick and jump when he tries to slow you down and search your heart? Do you let his hands pass over you? Do you let his eyes search you and see if there's anything that needs to be corrected? Well, the rod not only represented correction and inspection, but thirdly, it represented protection. This was one of the main uses of the rod for the shepherd. It was a weapon that he used to fend off attacks that were coming against the sheep. The shepherds could use these rods with incredible accuracy against wolves, against coyotes, against snakes. One shepherd writes that he was on a trip in Kenya one time, traveling with another shepherd, and there was a boulder that they were trying to move out of the way. And as they were working on this, they pushed it just a bit, and they saw a cobra rise up and get in the strike position just a couple of feet from them. And this guy says that he just froze, and before he could blink, this young shepherd had taken his rod, which had been in his hand the whole time they were working, because a shepherd never went anywhere without his rod. And before he knew what happened, the shepherd had struck the snake with one blow and killed it on the spot. That's the kind of protection that a good shepherd gives to his sheep. And that's the kind of protection that God gives to you and I. A shepherd would never expect his sheep to fight a lion. I mean, what a crazy picture. Just picture that. There's a sheep out in the field and a lion comes up and the shepherd says, hey man, you get this one. I'm tired. It's been a hard day. You take care of the lion. Well, I told you before, the only thing a sheep can do is go, bah, and that's it. And that's not scaring any lion. That's the best defense he has. Well, the other defense is to shake really bad, but that doesn't scare anything either. The shepherd would never expect a sheep to defend itself against an attack. Now listen. You remember several months ago we talked about spiritual warfare. Do you remember all the verses that I listed for you that said, you're not the one with the strength. You're not the one who wins the fight. It is Christ in you fighting for you. We simply stand secure in Him. That's exactly what a sheep has to do. When a sheep looks up and sees a wolf coming over the hill, the first thing he does is start looking around for the shepherd. Hey, pal, you here? Let's go. We got a little situation over here. He needs the shepherd to fight for him. And you and I as Christians had better not be trying to win battles against Satan, against the world, in our own strength. We need to let the Lord fight for us. There's so many verses throughout the Bible that says He will fight for us. I picked one, Deuteronomy 20, verses 3 and 4. It says, today you're going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic against them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and to give you the victory. The rod is a beautiful, beautiful picture of the shepherd's authority. The staff represents the shepherd's love. More than any other instrument, the staff is a symbol of the shepherd. I mean, you've seen it, the long, slender stick with the curved part at the top. Whenever you see one of those, you can't help but think of a shepherd. Why? Well, because the shepherd's staff is not used in any other profession. It won't work on horses or cattle or pigs. It is uniquely designed for sheep, and it is used entirely for their benefit. While the rod displays authority, the staff displays tenderness and love. And I'm going to tell you in a minute how, as Christians, we must have both in our life. We must have both. There are four ways a shepherd would use his staff with the sheep. The first one is to bring unity among the flock. To bring unity. As new lambs are being born, this is a very common picture among shepherds. As new lambs are being born, you will see a skilled shepherd walking swiftly among hundreds and hundreds of sheep, many of them who have just given birth to new lambs. And he will take his staff and he will use it to reach out because he doesn't want to touch the newborn sheep with his hands yet. He will take the staff and use it to skillfully lift those little baby lambs and bring them back over close to their mother so that they can nurse. It is an extraordinary thing to behold, to see a shepherd moving among his flock, drawing the little ones up to their mom because they've sort of crawled off and don't know where they're going, and he brings them back gently to their mother, and he restores unity in the flock. The staff is a beautiful picture of a shepherd bringing the flock together as they need to be. It provides unity. Not only unity, but it provides guidance for the flock. We've talked about how sheep constantly go astray. They're constantly getting themselves into trouble. But one of the neat things that the shepherd does with his staff as they're walking along is he will take that staff and he will reach out and not hit the sheep with it, but he will just touch the side of the sheep and he will put pressure on the sheep in one direction or the other to very gently nudge that sheep along the right path. If they're walking along a treacherous trail, perhaps along the side of a steep cliff, sometimes sheep don't watch where they're going. They'll see a little piece of grass over here and they'll just charge for it. And before you know it, they're off the cliff. Shepherd will use his staff to just tap the side of the sheep very gently and say, hey, this way, this way. You're headed in the wrong direction. Get back on the trail. What an incredible picture that is of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How many times have you and I been walking the journey of our life and we sense this gentle nudging in our life, don't we? Just this gentle, hey, Phil, listen, buddy, I love you. I care for you so much. You're about to head off the wrong trail. Get back on path. Get back on the right way. It's a beautiful picture of his gentle guidance in our life, and I thank the Lord for that. Not only does the staff bring unity, not only does it bring guidance, but thirdly, it creates and provides fellowship between the sheep and his shepherd. This is awesome. This is just, you know, it's again, it's one of those things that us in our fast-paced world just really can't wrap our minds around, this simple picture of a shepherd and his sheep. I've tried, and I think I've gotten close to appreciating this, but I just still think I'm miles off. When a shepherd walks along with his flock, he will often take his staff, and as he is walking, he will just rest that staff on the side of one of his sheep. And as they're walking along, he'll just hold the staff there on that sheep. And it's almost like two people taking a journey hand in hand. And the shepherd is just communicating to his sheep, hey, I'm here. And Keller writes that he's done this hundreds of times to his sheep, and he's seen other shepherds do exactly the same thing. As they're taking a long trip and walking a long distance, the shepherd will just walk along and he'll hold that staff on the side of his sheep or rest it along the back of his sheep. And it's just a way to say, we're in touch and I care about you. I'm not far away. What a great picture that is. You know, I thought about how I do that in my own life with my kids, and this never occurred to me. But I touch my kids all the time, just constantly. I have my hands on them. And I never thought about this till I studied for this message. If we're walking through the mall or we're just playing at home or whatever, I constantly find myself just putting my arm on them as we walk along or rubbing their hair or patting their back. I do that all the time, just instinctively. What am I saying to my kids? I'm just saying, hey, kids, I'm here and I love you and I'm connected with you. You know, the presence of the Holy Spirit is like that for me in my life. I love the times when I just sense God is near. He doesn't have to say anything. We don't have to be doing anything. It's just, God, I know your presence is here, and that brings me great comfort. Well, finally, not only does the staff bring unity and guidance and fellowship for the sheep, but it also brings and provides safety for the sheep. It is not uncommon at all for sheep to have a pasture full of green grass and yet for them to wander right over to the edge of a precipice and go lean as far as they can over the edge because they want that piece of grass over there. It just looks better. It smells better. I don't know what it is. And they will lean over there to get that piece of grass, and they'll often just tumble right over the edge down into the sea or into a river. Or they'll slip and they'll get off the path and they'll fall down into a crevice between two rocks and they'll get stuck. Or they'll see something in a bush that looks really interesting, and they'll push their way into this huge bush in order to get that one little berry inside. And what they don't realize is the further they push their way in, the more their wool is getting tangled in the thorns and the branches, and they can't get out. And poor old sheep, they constantly need the shepherd to come to their rescue. Constantly. The shepherd uses his staff as a symbol of safety, as a symbol of rescue in the lives of the sheep. He will lean down that embankment with his long staff and he'll take that hook part at the end and stretch it way down there and grab hold of that dumb old sheep that just fell in the water and he'll pull him back out and dry him off and send him on his way. Or he'll use that staff to reach deep into that thorn bush and move the thorns aside and pull that sheep back out to safety. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of the love that the shepherd has for us and how he constantly rescues us from our own dumb mistakes and pursuits. So we see these two instruments of the shepherd, the rod displaying his authority and the staff displaying his love. And listen, church, I want to tell you that as Christians, we need to make sure that we allow ourselves to come under both the rod and the staff in our Christian life. We cannot choose one or the other. You have to believe that God is in control of everything and that He loves you personally, or you will never find comfort in Him at all. Remember, David said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You see, with the rod being a picture of God's authority, there are those out there who have what you would call, I guess, an authoritarian view of God. They see God as all-powerful, and yes, He keeps the stars in place, and yes, God is this, even perhaps this dictator up in the sky who is all powerful, and he's got his rod in his hand, and boy, if I step out of line, God is really going to whack me. And so they lived their whole life cowering under this picture of God who is all power and no love. He's all rod and no staff. I've met people who've lived this way, and I'll tell you, it is a tiring way to live your life. What good is a God who is all powerful but cares nothing for you? Think about that. He's useless. It's like a father who has all the resources in the world that his children will ever need, and yet he has no relationship with his children, and they have no access to those resources whatsoever. It's like people living under a cruel king. They know that this king has power. Boy, do they know it. They know that this king has all the authority in the world over their life, but they have no relationship with the king whatsoever. None. He's all power, and he's no love. That's not the biblical view of God. On the other hand, you have people who see God as this warm, fuzzy little teddy bear. And, God is just love, love, love. And God would never discipline anybody. Why? I mean, God just cares for us so much. And, I'm so thankful that I have that kind of God, that He just loves me, and why I can live however I please because God loves me. And a good God would never send anybody to hell. Why, good God would never do that, would He? Anybody heard people say that? I heard a guy in my driveway tell me that one time. If God was loving, He'd never send people to hell. Well, you see, that's a view of this God who is all loving but has no authority over your life whatsoever. And if that is your view of God, then rather than living in fear of Him, you will live trampling all over Him. And you'll live however you please with a God like that. Because a God like that will never bring discipline. He'll never bring judgment. All He wants to do is love us and make us feel good. A God like that is all love and no power. He's all staff and no rod. A God like that is also useless in times of trouble. What good is it for me to be going through a crisis in my life and know that my God loves me, but He's powerless to do anything about the situation? Doesn't help me at all. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you holding my hand through this hard time, but I know you can't do anything about it, so it just really doesn't make much difference at all. A view of God like that will never bring you comfort in hard times in your life. The picture of God in the Bible, listen, is not only that He is all powerful, but that He loves me. He loves me. The picture of God in the Bible, yes, is one that we looked at a few months ago of the God who spoke the universe into existence and holds it there by the power of His Word. But the biblical picture of God has another side. It is that same all-powerful God loves me. And He knows my name. And that He sent His Son into the world, not just to save a nameless world, but to save us as individual people. I need to know that I have a God who is all-powerful, who has not only the universe, but my entire life in His hands. But I also need to know that that God cares intimately and personally for me. The Bible says He loves you so much and He knows you so well that He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your name. I love that song that we sing sometimes. It's a fairly new song to me. I think we've sung it once or twice. He knows my name. Boy, I wish I could remember the words to that. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear I cry. He hears me when I call. Something like that. I mean, that's a beautiful song that pictures the staff of God, the love that He has for me, the connection that He has with me, reaching out to me, caring for me tenderly, and loving me. I wonder what kind of picture you have of God this morning. If you're in the middle of a crisis in your life right now and you find no comfort in God, I would suggest that perhaps it's because you either see God as all rod or all staff. He's all powerful, but He doesn't really care a thing about you personally. Or He cares about what you're going through, but there's really nothing He can do about it. I want to tell you, folks, the God of the Bible is a God who is all powerful and all loving. Does anybody want to say amen to that? He is all powerful and He is all loving. Whatever situation you go through, you know, David spoke these words right after he talked about the valley. Very interesting to me. Whatever situation you're going through in life, you, like David, can find great comfort in knowing that the God who is with you is a God who has all the authority in the world over your situation. And you can also take great comfort in knowing that that God who has all the authority over your situation is also a God who cares for you personally. So much so that He sent His Son to die for you, to take your punishment and to endure the wrath of God for your sin so that you could go free. That's my God. I hope He's yours this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for the beautiful balance of Your Word and how it speaks to our hearts again and again and again of the truth of who You are and the truth of who we are. I am so thankful that I do not serve a God who is a tyrant in the sky. He's just mean and wants to beat up on people. Lord, that is not a picture of God. But we do have a picture of God who steps in and corrects us and disciplines us when we need it. Lord, I thank You for that. I thank You for Your discipline in my life. I thank You for the way that You have chastised me in order to keep me on the right paths and to lead me to holiness. Lord, I thank You for that. But I thank You also, Lord, that I have a God who loves me, who cares so much for me, that He's not just issuing decrees from heaven, but He's walking with me. He's holding my right hand, as we heard this morning. And that He's saying, I love you, and I care for you, and I'm with you always. Lord, we thank You for that. Thank You for Your presence in our life that brings us both authority and love. I pray, Lord, that we would be that kind of person also to others in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.